15. The Icy Caverns.
Noctili have several innate traits that make them formidable conjurations. Not only are their wills resilient, but so are their bodies. The shells covering their heads, for instance, have one of the strongest naturally occurring tensile strengths on Kaldar. Some scholars have speculated that they are more resilient than a dragon's scale.
From Kolvinar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 50. Despite the uneventful nature of the trek, the expedition was armed to the teeth. Everyone was veiled in some sort of barjan. Mages, particularly elementalists and arcanists, were protected by barriers infused with their favored mediums of destruction, while the soldiers, mercenaries, and sailors wore simple barjans. The weapons of the soldiers and mercenaries were imbued with a variety of deadly magics. Kalamir was not taking any chances, and neither was Almondal. He had summoned each of his Quintashals in addition to the group of earthen elementals. Unfortunately, Almondal only had 4 of the gray-skinned creatures at his disposal. He needed more of them. Arentil had captured 7 Quintashals, and Almondal's father possessed over 12. Not wanting the Quintashals to siphon the expedition's magics, Almondal had them march 10 paces away from the party. Their long-forked tongues hung to their stomachs, ready to absorb whatever magic was thrust at them. Almondal expected the conjurations to react to the frozen ground, but the snow and ice didn't seem to faze the faceless creatures.
"We're getting close," Ildin said in a monotone. His blank stare directed ahead of the expedition, where his illusions scouted out their route.
He had discovered that the cave led to a vast network of winding tunnels interconnecting enormous caverns. So Ildin sent more illusions to scour the frozen labyrinth, but those diverging branches were too much for one illusionist to scout alone. Felinia and Fendar aided in the search, but their efforts were to no avail.
"Still no sign of the Eltis?"
Keitel asked. Ildin shook his head. Almondal held back a grunt.
"Of course there's no sign of the beasts," he thought. Who did these Mindalarnians think the expedition was, mindless children?
Imbeciles.
Almondal turned from Keitel and Vaim, who was eyeing him with a cold gaze.
"We should just press ahead," said a soldier from Squad 2.
Dardel shook his head.
"I'm sure the illusionists will find the beasts soon."
As the expedition's leaders ascended a snowdrift, a debate arose among the soldiers. Almondal shook his head.
"Perhaps I should have gone ahead," he muttered. Surely he could have found the Yeltis and pulled them into the Vizierm expanse. "There's still time to search on my own," he thought.
"Don't even consider it, Mr. Aremian," Kalamir said, his tone harsh. "If you so much as disappear down a branching tunnel, I'll see to it that your compensation for this expedition is nullified."
Almondal gave the commander a sidelong glance.
"Really, old man?" he thought. "Like I care about the measly coin from this venture?"
"I will not lose anyone else,"
Kalamir added, cresting the snowdrift. The commander stopped atop the snowy mound and turned to the expedition.
"The cave is just over this drift. The illusionists haven't found the dreaded Yeltis, so be on guard."
The commander continued his speech, but Almondal ignored the man and pushed past him. A snowy plain lay beyond the drift. The tracks belonging to the Yeltis led to a cave housed within a rocky mound not more than 2 city blocks away. With the icicles hanging from the cave mouth, the rocky mound looked like the head of a creature rising from the snow with its maw gaping wide. From where he stood, Almondal estimated that the cave rose about 3 stories.
"Ildin?" Almondal called, eyes still on the cave. "Are those tunnels as big as the cave's mouth?"
"Yes,"
the illusionist replied, stepping beside Almondal. "Each branch is almost identical in shape and size." Almondal nodded, intrigued.
The tunnels would be too small for an earthen gargantuan, but not for a giant from the Aldenol plain. Just about the right size, he thought, grinning.
I'm stepping ahead to conjure something.
Something you don't want us to hear? Ilden asked. Amandal nodded and descended the snowdrift, snow crunching beneath his feet. Calamir was still shouting his orders.
I'll probably be finished by the time he's done blabbing.
He was a good 10 paces from the bottom of the drift when Calamir yelled at him.
Mr. Arimian! Calamir shouted. Get back here!
Amandal simply raised a hand and pointed to the left of the 3 pairs of Yeltis tracks. Calamir continued shouting, but Amandal ignored him. Ilden translated, explaining that Amandal was moving aside to conjure something else.
Now, how did that incantation start?
It had been several days since he had reviewed the transcribed pages from his family's tomes. He could pull the pages from his pack, but that would be cheating. After bringing the desired incantation to mind, Amandal extended his hands and began mustering his magic. Golden light surrounded him, but soon shot to a spot of crisp snow. The conjuration magic coalesced, forming an oval doorway 4 times taller than Amandal. As he intoned the incantation, snow crunched behind him as the expedition descended into the plain. He hoped no one would come close to investigate his summoning before he finished. The mystical doorway to the Aldenol plain shone brighter and brighter until a hulking humanoid silhouette appeared within the golden light.
Step forward, Amandal commanded.
The earthen giant emerged from the portal, landing on the snowy plain with a loud thud. Like the earthen gargantuan, the giant was made of clumps of dirt, grass, and rock. If one were to compare the 2 conjurations, it would be like comparing a young child to their parent.
Would that make the regular-sized elementals comparable to infants?
He dismissed the portal and hurried across the plain. All the while, the giant's thunderous footfalls boomed behind him. Squad 2 and Amandal's squadmates in Squad 1 had already entered the cave when Amandal rejoined the expedition. A faint breeze whipped across the cave mouth, creating a low-pitched howl.
Ominous, he thought, falling in line beside Morjadayan and the rest of Squad 3.
Another impressive conjuration, Morjadayan said.
Do you want it to go ahead? Asked the leader of Squad 3, raising a fist to halt the expedition. Amandal shrugged.
Sure, we'll let the big guy pass.
He glanced to Morjadayan and added, Not you, my friend. Morjadayan laughed, and Amandal sent a mental command to the earthen giant. The towering behemoth obediently strode to the cave. Icicles hung past the conjuration's shoulders, so Amandal commanded it to duck.
You could rip some of those off to use as a weapon, said a mage from Squad 3, gesturing to the icicles. Are you kidding? A soldier snorted. They would break the moment he hit something. He could always stab the beasts with it, another soldier said, laughing.
I'd rather have the Yeltis intact, Amandal said, following his earthen giant into the cave.
Ice covered the cavern walls, floor, and ceiling in thick sheets. But as the cave descended and bent to the right, patches of brilliant, pale blue crystal shone amid the ice. Amandal had expected the cave to darken as they moved farther from the entrance, but those patches made the cave glow like the crystal towers of the Ishari city.
Amandal!
Felinia called from somewhere around the bend. Amandal couldn't see her, as his earthen giant blocked most of the tunnel.
Amandal, where are you?
Amandal slowed his conjuration's gait and hurried around the earthen giant. Felinia stood behind the squads in the lead, a bare hand on a patch of crystal that was glowing brighter than the rest.
Why wasn't she wearing gloves?
Felinia wasn't the only one who had halted. Those in the lead were also stopped, marveling at something on the cavern wall.
Come here, she exclaimed. You have to feel this.
As Amandal neared, he saw that there was a distinct line around the crystal, as if it were repelling the ice.
Odd.
He stopped beside Felinia.
Touch it,
she urged, and grabbed Amandal's gloved hand. As he neared the crystal, a tingling sensation flowed through the glove and up his fingers.
Whoa!
He blurted, pulling his hand back.
You're fine, you big oaf, Felinia said, grabbing his glove.
She swiftly pulled it off, and a stinging chill pierced Amandal's hand. The chill, however, was soon replaced by a peculiar warmth that accompanied the tingling sensation.
Come on, touch it, Felinia urged.
As flesh met crystal, the tingling intensified to a constant surge that negated the biting chill.
Incredible.
These other crystals don't do that,
Felinia said, moving farther into the cave and touching a patch that glowed dimly.
I think it has to do with those.
She pointed to the ceiling. Confused, Amandal looked up. Something white and blue fluttered across the cavern's ceiling, then another and another.
Those can't be bugs, he thought, narrowing his eyes. The Abadine wasteland was too cold for insects, wasn't it?
Amandal willed his conjuration forward and focused his vision through the earthen giant. Complaints sounded from those behind the conjuration, but Amandal ignored them. The others would soon discover that Kalamir had called a halt. One of the fluttering creatures landed on a patch of crystal, opening its white wings like a moth. In fact, it looked like a moth, except for four pale blue tentacles dangling from the rear of its abdomen. Each tentacle was longer than the creature's wingspan and was covered in dark blue follicles that pulsed with blue light.
Do you know what that is? Felinia asked.
Some kind of moth, Amandal said, tilting his head. Is it feeding on the crystal?
What's going on?
Morjadian asked, stopping beside Amandal.
We're looking at ice moths, Felinia said, gesturing to the ceiling.
Ice moths? Amandal thought incredulously. That was almost as bad as calling a quintashal a mage's parasite.
I see,
Morjadian said, nodding. Amandal pointed to the still moth. They're doing something to those patches of crystal. The crystal where the creature hung glowed brighter and brighter.
Interesting.
If you say so,
Morjadian said, stepping ahead of the others.
We should keep going,
a soldier said. Several soldiers and mages pushed past Amandal and Felinia, not at all interested in the crystal or the strange moths.
Are you going to capture one? Felinia asked playfully.
Teasing me? Amandal thought, still eyeing the creatures on the ceiling. Maybe, he said, his tone sly. My brother hates moths. Well, anything small that flutters, really. Felinia laughed, but quickly quelled her mirth as Kalamir began shouting orders.
Let's keep moving,
the commander called.
Are you going to rejoin us?
Felinia asked. Amandal nodded, and the two of them returned to the others in the lead. Several of the soldiers were speculating on the nature of the cave.
Have been a crystal mine? A soldier asked. You know, a quarry those Ishari used to build their city.
Seems too far away,
Hevesir said.
This is a chrysalac den, Vaem said with annoyance. They burrowed these caves.
Hevesir burst into laughter, as did several other soldiers.
A chrysalac den?
Amandal raised an eyebrow, intrigued. No one really knew what a chrysalac looked like, but if this was their den, then the beasts must be huge.
I definitely want one of them, Amandal thought, or maybe two or three.
One of the laughing soldiers managed to ask a question.
You mean those mythical creatures? That's ridiculous,
Hevesir said, still chuckling.
A chrysalac? Are you serious?
The soldiers continued laughing, while Felinia turned to Amandal, her eyes wide.
So you were right,
she said, undoubtedly remembering their conversation in the Crystal Towers.
"Settle down,"
Kalamir said, gesturing to his men. He then turned to Vayam.
"I thought you weren't holding anything back."
Vayam sighed, shaking her head.
"They once belonged to a Chrysalak. If these tunnels were currently occupied by a Chrysalak, then every square finial of this cave would be covered in dense crystal, not snow and ice. These patches are merely the dregs of their food, and those Veliasim are simply eating the Chrysalak's scraps."
Veliasim? So that was the name of the moths.
"Very well,"
Kalamir said, sounding wary. The old man obviously didn't believe Vayam. Well, if she was lying about the absence of Chrysalaks, then that would work out to Amandal's advantage. Why capture one type of creature when you can have two or three? The notion made him smile.
"Trust me," Vayam said. "I would have said something if we were going to encounter a Chrysalak. They are formidable."
Felinia glanced to Amandal, eyes wide with curiosity. Hevesir snickered.
"And how do you know so much about them?"
"The Hillenard is a vast storehouse of knowledge," Vayam replied haughtily. "It is home to knowledge that was taken from our world by those wretched Lossians and their abominable king."
The icy tunnel continued descending the farther the expedition went. Icicles hung from the ceiling, some reaching to the cavern floor. The patches of crystal became more abundant, further illuminating the tunnel with a pale blue glow. Eventually, the tunnel's floor leveled. The crystal patches became more and more abundant, drawing wary speculation from the soldiers. Vayam, however, squashed their assumptions.
"We're getting close to that big chamber," Ilden said. "The one with all the branches."
Vayam nodded.
"One of the old nesting grounds for the Chrysalak."
The tunnel wound back and forth twice before emptying into an enormous cavern. Awestruck remarks and adoring gasps echoed into the cavern as the leaders entered the vast chamber. The cavern's ceiling rose dozens of finials, and Amandal estimated that it was 6 stories tall in some parts. Mammoth icicles hung from the ceiling, and some even reached to the icy floor, creating transparent walls. Most of the cavern's floor was uneven, with crude ramps leading to ledges and elevated sections. 3 of those elevated areas were landings for other tunnels. Kalamir called for everyone to enter the cavern so the entire expedition could gather. Once everyone was inside the massive chamber, Kalamir pulled the illusionists and squad leaders aside. Though they were a good 20 paces away, their conversation carried throughout the entire cavern.
"Are any of you near the end of those branches?"
Kalamir asked.
"They go on forever," Fendar said grumpily. "We'll never find their ends."
"Well, it might take days," Felinia said, "but I've found no sign of any creatures."
"And you, Mr. Saterran?"
Kalamir asked Ilden. Ilden shook his head.
"We should just press ahead," a squad leader suggested. "There are 3 other tunnels you haven't searched, correct?"
he asked, pointing to the branches at the far end of the cavern. There were 7 tunnels, all in all. The one they had traversed that led to the surface and 6 others.
"I agree," another man said. "If these caves are so vast, we may not even encounter the Yeltis."
As the squad leaders voiced their opinions, Amandal stepped away with his conjurations. He sauntered toward the tunnels that had not been searched, looking for a place to sit. At the edge of a large but shallow bowled area near the center of the cavern, he plopped down.
"Is this where the Chrysalaks nested?"
A debate arose among the squad leaders, but Amandal did his best to ignore it. He focused on the cavern floor, looking for possible clues as to which way the Yeltis had traveled.
"Maybe worn spots in the floor," he thought, his eyes sweeping across the frozen ground.
But the ice was unmarred. How thick was the ice? Amandal glanced to the feet of his earthen giant. The ice beneath the conjuration showed no signs of stress, let alone cracking.
Well, that's no help.
Silence!
Kalamir shouted, and the squad leaders quieted.
Illusionists, start searching those tunnels across the cavern. We'll break for a midday meal while the illusionists continue scouting. Mages, relinquish your magic on everyone but squads 9, 10, and 11. Those of you still enhanced, stand watch at the tunnels.
Ildin's illusions of himself zipped into the tunnel due south of the party. Felinia had taken the branch to the southeast, while Fendar scouted the one to the southwest. Oddly, the tunnel Ildin had chosen was rising. The crystal along the walls also became more and more abundant, almost to the point that there was no ice or snow. That's scary, Ildin thought. After the illusions had flown a grand finial, the tunnel emptied into a vast chamber with a giant pit at its center. I found something different, Ildin said, his voice echoing in two places. He focused through only one of his illusions, studying the chamber. A near-perfect circle, it was slightly smaller than the one where the expedition was resting. Three tunnels branched off from the circular cavern, two ascending and one descending. The pit must have been 40 or 50 finials in diameter and took up most of the floor. Walkways lined the cavern's walls, barely wide enough for 3 or 4 men to walk abreast. Light shone from the pit, and Ildin glided his illusion forward to inspect it. Looking down, he saw a huge shaft plunging to a polished floor perhaps 100 stories below him. Streaks of crystal lined the walls of the shaft in zigzagging patterns that looked like lightning. How beautiful! He commanded the illusion to dive into the pit, and as it descended, he sent his other illusions into the three tunnels. A dozen stories above the floor of the pit, the walls flared out to form a massive, bulb-shaped chamber, completely encased in crystal. When his illusion reached the floor, he saw strange crystallized formations that looked almost like vines were spread across the ceiling of the chamber. They continued into the shaft, becoming those zigzagging patterns. Weird. The chamber was eerily silent around the illusion. There were two tunnels that emptied into the chamber, one halfway up the cavern wall to the east, and another level with the floor directly to the south. The tunnel to the south, however, was not like the others in this labyrinth. It looked too smooth to have been hollowed by a creature.
Could that lead to the gatehouse?
Kalamir paced nervously, listening to the illusionist's reports. Miss Tussara had found some fresh corpses of wolf-like creatures down the branch she was searching. Unlike the other tunnels, the one she was investigating did not have any adjoining passageways.
I think I found the gatehouse, Mr. Sitarin said.
Miss Tussara sighed heavily.
And I found the Yeltis, but there's more than three.
How many?
Asked Mistress Rudal.
8,
Miss Tussara answered.
But some of them look small.
Are they asleep?
Dardel asked.
Miss Tussara nodded. A few are stirring, but they look like they're hibernating.
Kalamir set his jaw. They could still sneak past the Eltis.
No. That was his fear trying to dictate his actions. Do not give in to fear,
he recited the litany in his mind.
Fear will bring defeat. I will confront my fears and tear through them like a weak foe on the battlefield. Then,
I have found it,
Mr. Sitarin exclaimed. Kalamir opened his eyes and quickly finished the recitation in his mind.
Good,
he said curtly, and surveyed the expedition. Most were busily eating a cold meal.
Finish your meals quickly,
Kalamir shouted.
Mages, cast your spells once again. Squads 3 and 4, head down the southern tunnel and start preparing ramps so we can descend that shaft. Those of you standing watch can break for food after we slay the Yeltis.
Amandal was one of the first to enter the tunnel Felinia had scouted. The tunnel was not as brightly lit as the enormous cavern or the first tunnel the expedition had traversed. Only an occasional patch of crystal dotted the walls and ceiling. Icicles and other formations were prevalent in the tunnel, each glowing an aqua-blue hue. As they turned a corner, a putrid odor invaded Amandal's nostrils. It smelled like death, but not quite.
"What's that smell?" a soldier asked. "Probably those corpses," Hevesir said. "Dead things smell different in cold places."
Dardel shushed the soldiers, and the party continued in silence. Only their footfalls and clanking armor sounded within the tunnel. Amandal was especially careful with his earthen giant. With the creature's long stride, it could easily keep pace with the expedition while remaining somewhat quiet. The stench grew stronger as the expedition wound their way through the dim tunnel. They had walked no more than a half a grand finial when Felinia pointed to the left.
"The corpses are over there," she whispered, "in an alcove of sorts."
Amandal and several others rounded a bend in the tunnel, finding an icy room. The corpses mentioned by Felinia were piled in the center, a heap of blood-stained white fur, pale blue bones, and translucent horns of the same coloring. Most of the creatures were mangled beyond recognition, but one was mostly intact, its snout pointed toward the party. As Amandal's eyes met the dead creatures, he started, blinking in disbelief.
Impossible.
The creature's eyes were unnatural, with irises as white as snow and whites that were not white at all, but dark blue. The eyes were exactly like that creature in his dream, the cistern. But how? That was just a dream, and a knot formed in Amandal's stomach. In his mind, he heard the behest from the mysterious old man. The words were as clear as if he were speaking them right beside Amandal.
"Seek the Shannok and fulfill your destiny."
The corpses drew hushed speculation and wary comments from the expedition, but Amandal ignored them.
Destiny?
The realization of being fated to this dismal expedition was disheartening. But if those dreams were showing him the future, then he would be near useless in Tardalim.
"Unless I go in with powerful conjurations."
The earthen giants would do, and maybe even a troll. But he could use more. Amandal pulled himself from his reverie while the soldiers wondered about the Yeltis' strengths and capabilities.
"Those Yeltis did this?"
a soldier asked, poking his glowing sword at the corpses. The acidic magic eroded the end of a femur and some patches of fur.
"But those corpses look as big as a bear,"
another said, shuddering.
"Yeltis are formidable," Bayam said, "as you can see. They took down an entire pack of cistern, and cistern are deadly."
Amandal flinched upon hearing the creature's name. Bayam's confirmation of the cistern's identity only confirmed his assumptions.
"I must be seeing the future. How else could I have dreamt about these creatures?"
"Is that what these beasts are called?"
Hevesir asked, stepping toward one of the skulls and grabbing its horns. He pulled the head from the pile, examining it. The half-eaten skull was almost as large as Hevesir's torso.
"This would make a nice trophy," he said with a chuckle.
"Let's keep moving,"
Kalamir commanded.
"Sir,"
a voice called from the middle of the expedition.
"Sir, if I may."
Amandal glanced over his shoulder. A brown-haired man stepped forward, veiled in a putrid green bubble of Barjan, a necromancer named Uldric. He wore a twisted smile.
"Please, may I reanimate them?"
Kalamir nodded.
"You may, Uldric. We can use them as fodder."
"Much appreciated, Commander,"
Uldric said with an anticipating cackle. Uldric's eyes widened like a crazed fool as he uttered an incantation. Dark purple light appeared, then surged into the pile of corpses. Amundel turned from the pile as the bones began to shift. The skeletons creaked as the reanimating magic re-knit the creatures.
8 Yeltis, Amundel mused, recalling Felinia's report.
He narrowed his eyes as he gazed farther down the tunnel. If he went ahead, he could catch at least one by surprise.
Are you all right? Felinia asked, coming beside Amundel. You look like you're off somewhere else.
Yes, Amundel said, eyes fixated on the tunnel ahead. Just planning. A sudden roar echoed from behind the expedition. Everyone spun. Soldiers readied themselves while mages began uttering incantations.
Oh, no! Ilden exclaimed.
Amundel turned to his friend. Ilden groaned, then his face contorted. Had something attacked the other squads?
What happened?
Calamir demanded.
Those patterns of crystal along the pit, Ilden stammered. They're limbs of some monster, and they just attacked squads 3 and 4.
Dardell's eyes widened.
One of those chrysalaks?
Vayam shook her head.
I doubt it. Crystal limbs, you say?
Another deafening roar filled the tunnel, followed by bellowing grunts. The grunts, however, came from ahead of the expedition.
The Yeltis are waking, Felinia whispered.
Calamir swore furiously, then began shouting orders.
They should have sent me ahead, Amundel thought, pursing his lips.
With the Yeltis awake, the party had lost their element of surprise. If those cistern corpses were anything to judge by, then the Yeltis would probably wreak havoc on the expedition, despite the aid of magic. More grunts echoed through the tunnel, followed by an enraged cry. That cry was not like the roar. Were the Yeltis angry at being awakened?
How close are the Yeltis? Calamir barked.
Close, Felinia whispered. 3 turns, maybe 200 finials, 250 at most.
That doesn't give me enough time, Amundel thought. If he were going to capture a Yeltis, he had to go now.
Felinia, fill my quintashals with some disintegrating orbs.
She gazed at him warily, but before she could reply, Amundel hurried toward the Yeltis with his conjurations. The earthen giant's footfalls drowned Calamir's orders while more enraged cries echoed into the tunnel.
Amundel,
Felinia called, her voice stern.
Don't do anything stupid.
Looking over his shoulder, Amundel gave her a sly grin.
Is that concern I hear in your voice? Don't worry. I've faced far worse.